want you to do something in Titus this morning, if you don't mind, in Titus chapter 1. Unless you have a question. In Titus chapter 1, we'll start here, but first, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and sending your Son to die for us, and by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, we thank you for the book you preserved for us here, the 1611 King James Bible, the authorized version that you stand behind, that you put your faith and trust in as we do. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to be with them and to restore them to a measure of health. And Father, most of all, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And anybody got a question? Okay, in Titus chapter 1, begin with me in verse 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times. Now, I believe punctuation and words, I believe they're important in your Bible. Do you see he said, but hath in due times? He didn't say due time. He said in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, what I want to do here, I want to see if we can figure out. Go back to verse 1. Paul, a servant of God. Was Paul a servant of God?
Yeah.
Well, did Paul tell those Galatians in chapter 1 that if he was the servant of men, he should not be the servant of God? Yeah. He did say that, in Galatians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 10, somewhere along in there. And this, what he's talking about here, by the way, how many books did Paul write?
13.
Do y'all know how many times in those 13 books that Paul wrote, how many times it starts off Paul was servant?
13.
No, sure about that.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear that. You're servant.
How many times in the 13 books that Paul wrote does it start off Paul the servant of Jesus Christ or Paul the servant of God?
Every time.
Would you believe three times?
13 was his name.
Paul 13 times. But the servant, Paul the servant, three times. Okay? A unity. You see, I believe the numbers mean something, but I don't put faith in numbers. I put faith in what the numbers show me. You understand? Which are the words of God. Okay? Now, did he say that this Paul here, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect? Well, who is God's elect? Are there several names of people that are called elect throughout your Bible?
Yes.
Well, now, is Paul an elect?
Yes.
He is. But is it based on his faith? Hold your place and go to Isaiah 42 with me. Go to Isaiah 42. Now, I treat Isaiah 42 just like I do Isaiah 61. There's a certain person there. You see, you got a church here in Mobile, Alabama that calls themselves the Luke 4:18 church. And the pastor of that church used to be the pastor at Cottage Hill Baptist, and he says he's the one that's sent to do what Luke 4 says in Luke 4:18. He claims he's the one of Isaiah 61. Well, I don't believe that for do you? Just like Isaiah 42. Now listen, somebody is teaching that Isaiah 42 is Paul. The only possible way that it can be Paul is Paul in Christ. You understand? It ain't Paul in prophecy. I'm going to show you that this morning. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant. Well, is Paul a servant?
Yes.
All right. Whom I hold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Is Paul going to judge the Gentiles? Who's going to judge this world someday?
Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ is. God Almighty is. Now, verse 12. He shall not cry. Now listen, if this is Paul in Isaiah 42, pay attention to what he won't do and what he will do. Verse 2. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Well, let's check out some things here. Go to hold Isaiah 42. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I don't believe that it's going to be too hard to see this. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out, held a council against him, against Jesus Christ now, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. You know, every time I read that, I see these people that teach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they say, man, we got to go out and let everybody know who Jesus is. Jesus Christ told these people, don't you tell nobody who I am. Verse 17, reason that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. Now he's fixing the quote from Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And I suspect that's probably Cornelius' household. You understand? Did they believe that Jesus Christ, in Acts 10, did they believe that Jesus Christ had died for their sins? No, they believed in the name of the Lord, just as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. Peter asked him, Philip asked him, who do you say that he is? He said, do you believe it? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and he went down in the water and he baptized him. He believed in the name, not in the death, burial, and resurrection. Not that Jesus Christ had died for his sins. Now, is this the same thing that we read in Isaiah 42?
Yes.
Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. Go to go to Matthew 17. I believe that's it. Give me just a minute. I may have a bad reference there, but let me see something. Matthew 17. Let's go to Matthew 17. Now this is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him, Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A holy voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now I know who he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. Go back to Isaiah 42. Verse 1, Behold my servant. Hold your place there. Go to Zechariah chapter 3. If you've got Matthew, back up through the minor prophets, Malachi, Zechariah, going back toward the front from Matthew. Zechariah chapter 3. And Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. Now, I apologize to y'all. Why ain't y'all done said something?
We're trying to find it.
you got any idea where I was at? I was in Zephaniah chapter 3. I apologize. I just looked at that Zephaniah up and said, well, there's Zechariah. Go to Zechariah. I know y'all are. Y'all go with me now to Zechariah chapter 3. Boy, if I had any brain, I'd be dangerous. Let's see. We need to break into the... Well, I tell you what. Let's go to verse 1. Now, I believe Joshua here in the context of the type of the Lord. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Which, like we read there in Zephaniah, there's going to be a fire here someday, you understand? Now, verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed, pay attention. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. I believe that represents flesh. Now, reason why, watch what he says. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. Well, is God, after the tribulation, going to take away Israel's filthy garments?
Yes.
Give them new garments? White linen?
Yes.
Which is the righteousness of the saints?
That's right.
Not us, but those in the tribulation. Verse 4, And he answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with change of raiment. He's going to change Israel's clothes someday, beloved, those that go through the tribulation. Verse 5, And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house. And well, who's going to judge the house of Israel? God Almighty is, ain't he?
Right.
Certainly is. And shall also keep my courts. I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Now here's our verse. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest. Well, who is Israel's high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ is, according to the book of Hebrews. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the tribe of Levi, but after the tribe of Judah. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondering at. For behold, here it is, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Well, beloved, when you get to the book of Mark, Jesus Christ is portrayed as a servant. You will not find a genealogy in the book of Mark, because servants back in years ago, they did not keep records of their birth or anything. Years ago, if you were of a slave tribe and you were born, a lot of times the mamas would write your name in their family Bible, and that would be the only record of a servant back there. You understand? Now, so I know who this is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the servant. Now, go back to Isaiah 42. Verse 1 again. Behold my servant. Well, I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about here. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. Did God say, this is my beloved son, in whom he's well pleased, in Matthew? He sure did. So I know who this elect is here. I have put my spirit upon him. Go to Isaiah 61. Now listen. I know Paul was a servant of the Lord. I know Barnabas was a servant. Titus was a servant. I believe anybody today that serves the Lord has to serve the Lord in truth. If you're a servant of God and you're speaking lies and hypocrisy, I don't believe you're a servant of the Lord. You're a servant of the devil. Now, I don't care who likes that. I don't give a flip. God didn't care. He nailed them down. He called them in Matthew chapter 23. I challenge you to study Matthew 23 and see what he called them, a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of snakes and vipers. Now, Isaiah 61, verse 1. Now, this is what Fred Wolf, the pastor of Luke 4:18 church, I believe that's on, what's that, Gerby? I mean, what's that, Green Lot out there? Not Green Lot.
You been out there?
Zolly. Zolly Road. Yeah, I've been there. I've been by it. I've never stopped in and visited. I reckon, listen to me, if I did go to that church, I had best not go there with a bad attitude, because I don't believe God would have us to do that. If I went there and visited, I'd keep my mouth shut and listen to it, because of first place, I ain't got no business being there, and that ain't my assembly, and I ain't got to answer for what they do. I got to answer for what I do. So if I went there, I'd keep my mouth shut and just listen. And if you do, do the same thing. Now, by Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Well, there's somebody in the context that the Spirit of the Lord's on. Didn't we see that in Isaiah 42? I will put my Spirit upon him, his servant.
Yes.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Hold the fort. Am I supposed to preach good tidings to the meek today?
No.
No. You know what my job is today? Make all men see. I don't give a flip if they meek or what they think they are. My job is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. You know what Matthew 5:5 says, the so-called Sermon on the Mount? The meek shall inherit the earth. I'm not looking. What would I do with this rotten, stinking world anyway? You know, I think about anybody, and I'm not going to call him an idiot, but I think he is anyway, but I won't call him one. Anybody that would want to be president of this country ain't got too much sense. Beloved, I got enough problems without listening to how many states we got now?
57.
How many? 51? You want to listen to everybody's problem? Heck no, I got my own problem I can't handle. Why would I want to spend millions of dollars to be president of a rotten, low-down country that's turned their back on God Almighty anyhow? No. Now, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Well, the ashes must come out of the fire, doesn't it?
Amen.
Don't you know that I got a pile of ashes in my fireplace right now? They're about that deep. My grandson was sitting there the other morning, kind of chilly, a while back, had a fire, and he's having to dig out the ashes. You know, you got to have a little oxygen for that fire to keep it going. He said, "Papa, what you going to do with these ashes?" I said, "I'll get them out one day when it's full." They're about that deep right now. So the ashes come out of the fire. So I suspect this day of vengeance up here of verse 2 is after the ashes of verse 3. During that time, there's ashes. Things are being burnt. You can find that in Joel chapter 2, where it's destroyed. It's as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a pile of ashes. Now, go to Luke 4. Let's see about this man. Let's see if this is Fred Wolf. Hey, he ain't the only one. Any of y'all ever watch Lizard Lick Towing out of Lizard Lick, North Carolina, the repossession company? They got it written on their records, Luke 4:18. Oh well, world's in a mess, beloved. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is talking about Jesus Christ now. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Who's doing the reading?
Jesus
Christ is. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anybody got a red letter? Boy, that really makes it official. It didn't say the Spirit of the Lord is upon Fred Wolf or Percy Peters or E.C. Moore or any preacher. The Spirit of the Lord is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what he says. Verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He didn't tell me I had to go to the poor. He didn't tell me I had to go to the rich. He told me to make all men see. He said that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. No matter whether rich, poor, or what. Jesus Christ died for all men. regardless of their state. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, brother, if I could heal the brokenhearted, I'd heal myself. Every now and then, my heart breaks. I get real fearful for things that's going on, and there ain't nothing I can do about it. And if you got a broken heart, don't come to me to heal you, because I can't. You might want to go hunt Benny Hinn up or somebody. See if he can help you. I imagine if you got enough money, Benny Hinn might help you. Don't he drive fly a Learjet? I think he used to fly around in the Learjet, and they don't give them things away. Now watch what he said. To preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind. And you know, I believe there's more to that recovering of the sight to the blind than just making blind people see. I believe there's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, having eyes to see and can't perceive, ears to hear and can't hear. I believe Jesus Christ was to train some people that they could see what God's doing in their dispensation. Jesus Christ never did tell them about the church, the body of Christ. Nowhere will you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus Christ told them about a body of believers made up of Jew and Gentile, which are members of his body. You won't find that there. You will find Hebrews through Revelation there. In the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's training those 12 men to carry on the ministry after he's crucified and risen and seated at the right hand of God the Father. He said he's coming again. And beloved, I saw a sign on a Grace Church here in Mobile, and I won't name the church. I used to go there. A sign there: we preach the death, burial, and the resurrection and the coming of the Lord. No, I don't preach the coming of the Lord. Not for you. I preach the coming of the Lord who it's for. The coming of the Lord is for Israel. As in John chapter 14, and I know that place uses John 14. I've heard them. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, where are they going to be? They're going to be on the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. He sent Jesus Christ to preach to the meek. He did so in Matthew chapter 5. Great Commission, they call it. Preach the gospel to the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Now, I'm not looking for this earth. Watch what he says in Luke chapter 4. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. What else did he not do? You hold in Isaiah 61, flip back there. See what this anointed of God Almighty, the one that God put his spirit upon. Do y'all know that Jesus Christ as a man never saw God the Father? Boy, people don't like that. Jesus Christ was born of a baby, wasn't he? Had that baby in that flesh, had he ever seen God the Father? No, he had not. Hebrews is very clear. A body hast thou prepared me. Who was the me? It's the Word of Almighty God. The Word was made flesh. Well, in the flesh, the baby in the flesh never saw God the Father. Now, you can go to John chapter 17 and confuse yourself if you want to. He's praying, said, about him going back to God the Father with the glory that he had with him before the world was. The Word was made flesh. Here it is. dwelt among us, not us in this room, not us in Romans to Philemon. He dwelt among his own back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He told them, I'm going away, I will come again. He didn't say nothing about the church, about it, Christ, nor anything about the rapture of his body. No mention of it. He did mention the second coming. So when you put signs on your bulletin boards out there and preach the coming, what does it tell people? You believe in the second coming. Well, beloved, the second coming don't come till after the fire. Here's the fire over here in the tribulation. The world's going to be involved in that. Didn't we read that in Zephaniah chapter 3? Didn't we read it? There's a ashes. He's going to give them beauty for ashes. Everything they got's burned up. No. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what he did not read here in Luke 4 and that Isaiah 61. You'd be in Isaiah 61 now. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Did he read that in Luke chapter 4?
Yeah.
And the day of vengeance of our God?
No.
He didn't read that, did he? No. To comfort all that mourn? He didn't read that, did he? You know where those that are mourning at? Over here in the tribulation. They are running and hiding. Go to Revelation chapter 6. Go to Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to have to quit saying Revelation because it ain't Revelation. It's Revelation. There ain't no S on the end of it. I'm putting the S on there. And by the way, I heard a man on Jeopardy. This was one of the final questions on Jeopardy one day, and he said Revelations, and they counted him wrong. Was he right or wrong? He was wrong. He said Revelation. All right, Revelation chapter 6. Now, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, five the number of death, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants. Well, now these, the servants of the Lord, well, is this the servant of Isaiah 42? Mm-mm. Is it the elect of Isaiah 42?
I wouldn't think so.
Titus chapter 1? The faith of God's elect? No, it ain't. That they should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In other words, they were given white robes. And we know that white robes is the righteousness of saints. Go back to Luke chapter 4 now. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptance of the year of the Lord. And he closed the book. You know why Jesus Christ closed the book? What if he read, and the day of vengeance of our God? We'd have wound up in hell. Or we probably wouldn't have never been here.
That's what it'd been.
You know why? Because the "and" fits right here. In this dispensation, Romans to Philemon, there's a gap between the book of Acts and Hebrews through Revelations over here. There's a gap. The acceptable year of the Lord is back here. Starts with the Lord. Preached to the meek, and he did. Recovering of sight to the blind. Some of them saw. Do you know what he told the 12 apostles? He said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others he spoke in parables. Why? That's the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 6. By seeing you see not, by hearing you hear not. You know what God told Paul in the book of Acts? To turn these people from darkness to light. In other words, in darkness you can't see. I remember the time I got lost my four-wheeler in the... I'll never forget that if I live to be 100 years old. I lost my four-wheeler in the woods hunting. About the second time I'd ever been in them woods in my life. Well, it got dark, so it's time for me to get out. I couldn't find my four-wheeler. I'm walking around in the dark. I got a little old bitty pin light. It ain't much bigger than that right there. Got two double-A batteries in it, and it don't give much light. So I just turned it off and walking around, stumbling around, running into vines and bushes and all kind of stuff. Took me about 2.5 hours to find that four-wheeler. I had parked that thing on a river, a creek bank, and the creek's about 6 foot down there. Well, when it got dark, I'm walking the creek where I went in at, but I couldn't see the dark of it. I couldn't see it. I walked by it a dozen times, but I couldn't find it. I finally went back to where I left my truck and went back the way I went in and finally found it. But you talk about can't see in the dark, you can't see. But what did Jesus Christ do? He gave them some light that they could see God's plan for man. Did Paul see that light on the road to Damascus? Well, I believe when Paul got saved, he saw some things, and later on he saw some further things. He saw some people such as those who first trusted in Christ that were made up of a body called Jew and Gentile, baptized by the Spirit into that body. And he saw us over here that had no hope. And when the Lord appeared unto him in Acts 18, he told them, I'm going to send you forehands to these Gentiles. And it goes contrary to every promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In other words, when Paul said, I'm going to these that didn't bless the seed of Abraham, naturally, they said that it ain't fit that you should live. He's gone contrary to the word of God. So if Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4, if he'd have read Isaiah 61, the vengeance of God would have had to come. And Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he said, vengeance belongs to me, what God said. And it does. It don't belong to Fred Wolf. He is not the spirit of Isaiah 61. We're not to preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for doctrine today. He's wrong. Well, he may be a brilliant, rich man, but he's wrong. He's still wrong. Well, what about this thing? Go back to Titus chapter 1 now. Go back to Titus chapter 1. Let's look at some things there. In Titus chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Well, I believe the elect there is Jesus Christ. Now, let's just look at some of the elect people in your Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. You see, just because the word elect shows up, it don't mean it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it don't mean that according to the faith of these elect, God did what he did or going to do what he's going to do. Now, in Matthew 24 is about the tribulation time over here. It's about Jacob's time of trouble over there. Look at verse 24. Well, I apologize. Let's back up a little further. This is verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. In other words, when this time comes over here in the tribulation, we need to be over there in Judea, don't we?
Oh.
Well, ain't that what it said? Now listen, any preacher or anybody that puts you in the tribulation over here has got to go to Judea. Y'all don't believe the book? Look what he said. Verse 16. then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. I don't know of no mountain in Mobile that I could flee to, do y'all? And I heard old Hagee, the little Mr. John Hagee, San Antonio, Texas, I heard him say that this is our Jerusalem. Well, he's in San Antonio, Texas. Is that where? And this is Jerusalem? Well, I'm in Mobile, Alabama. Well, this is my Jerusalem. No, Jerusalem is where Jerusalem's always been, always will be.
Amen.
You understand? So Judea is where Judea is. Now, let's read what it says. Verse 17. Then let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Y'all live on your housetop? I've been on my housetop before, working, but I don't live up there. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. For pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days, what days is he talking about? The tribulation. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You mean he's got to shorten the days for Jesus Christ, the elect of God Almighty? No, he's talking about the elect that's going into the tribulation. You understand? So just because you see the word elect in one place, it don't mean it's the same people in another place. You understand? Now, watch what he says here. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ. And you can find this in 1 John over and over and over. And beloved, 1 John ain't written to the church and body of Christ. So that ought to tell you right there, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, ain't written to the church and body of Christ. If we confess our sins, Jesus Christ, I confess that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I don't confess my sins. I confess that Jesus Christ became my sin. God made him to be my sin. Why? That I might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ, one of my spiritual blessings. Yes, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Ain't got nothing to do with being born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. Not in this world, not in this flesh. The new creature that I am is seated at the right hand of God the Father this morning. Has been for years. Before the foundation of the world, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, ascended back to God the Father, I ascended with him based on God's foreknowledge. Well, you can't beat that. I ain't got to run hide in the mountains. You know why they're hiding in the mountains, according to Revelation chapter 6? Hide us from the face of him, for the great day of his wrath is come. And there's going to be some hailstones that's about the weight of a talent. You ought to find out what a weight of a talent is. About 130-pound block of ice. That is some kind of big piece of hailstone, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
That's why they got to run high to the mountain. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, that's the elect of those that God knows that's going to go through the tribulation and endure to the end. End of the tribulation. They have the right to go into the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. and live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 year of time there, those Gentile nations that blessed his seed of Abraham, that Hagee's trying to get you to do now in the tribulation over here, they've gone into the 1,000 year millennial reign not saved spiritually. They're like Noah when he went into the ark. He was saved physically from the wrath of God. But he wasn't saved spiritually. You know how you know that? The very first thing he did when he got out of that flood was built an altar and made a sacrifice to God Almighty. That's why Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Eight people. Are you listening? Eight people saved from the wrath of Almighty God back there. Noah and his family. Household salvation. Household salvation. Y'all know the book of Job is about this time over here. Job is 42 chapters, 42 months over here in the tribulation. Do y'all know that Job lost everything he had? Going to give you beauty for ashes. Well, he told them that, didn't we read it? Job, at the end of his life, God doubled to him what he'd lost. But he never cursed God. There's some people over here in the tribulation, all this stuff is befalling on them, and they still will not give God the honor. We've got the best dispensation in this Bible, and people just swaddle around in it. Preachers, by the dozens, squandle around in God's grace. God was so gracious to us, he put a parenthesis back there in Isaiah and Luke chapter 4. He just left us right out of it so he could have mercy on us. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says, but God. Well, let's look at it. I don't want to misquote. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. It's God who is rich in mercy for his great, for his glory. Look at it, verse 4. But God, I thank the Lord for the buts in Paul's epistle.
Yeah.
You see, before, these people here were under the law. But Paul said, but now, the righteousness of God was out of the law. It's being manifested and witnessed by the law. What's the law show you? If you're a low-down sower and snake in the grass, you ain't no good. Your mom and your daddy wasn't no good. Your grandma and your grandpa ain't no good. Your kids ain't no good. And especially your grandkids ain't worth the good. And boy, that, it gets hard to say that, don't it? We do love, do we grandparents spoil our grandkids? No. Spoil the little devils and then send them over to mom and daddy. And mom and daddy's already tired from working. And well, I'm the poor little old grandkids just catch it both ends. My daughter-in-law, I don't know where this was at. Chris may know, I'm not sure. She got on her, I don't know if you call that a telephone, computer, or what, because they all look alike to me. Got a little old Mexican, looked like a little Mexican kid. What is he, 3 years old? He's arguing with his mama about some cupcakes, and his mama's going to, have you seen that?
Yeah.
His mama's going to spank him. He said, well, we do this over at Granny's, and she don't do nothing. Grandma's spoiling that little devil. Have you seen that?
Yeah, he's cute, too.
Yeah, I think that's
he's going to be a lawyer when he gets
older. Boy, he's standing there. I mean, he's putting up a good defense.
Yes, he did.
Well, we do this at Granny's, and she don't do nothing. Well, anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us after we repented of our sins.
What?
Well, I'm sorry. I've been listening to Joel Osteen too much. Even when we were dead in sin. Did God have mercy on you while you was a sinner?
Yeah.
Well, if he didn't, you know what the problem is? Did he change your attitude? Did he give you a new mind? I got the same old mind I had before I got saved. I got the same old attitude I had before I got saved. You don't believe me? You get out on some of these. We got some of the dumbest brain dead drivers in the world in Mobile, Alabama. Get behind them. And they up there putting lipstick on, doing the paper, doing the lights done turned green, and I'm sitting there, and I blow at them, and they startle. And I seen them sound off one day, and I have road rage, according to this lady. She said, if I'm sitting in a red light and you blow at me, that's a form of road rage. Well, I got road rage. But I thank God that he loved me just like I am. I didn't have to change. I can't change what I am. I can stop doing some things I do. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to wallow around in it. Because I know whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You sow to corruption, you're going to reap corruption. Like the old saying, you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. You live a violent life, you probably don't die a violent life. I believe that God loved me just like I am, and he loved the rest of you just like you are. What is man's problem? It ain't changing from what you are. It's the unbelief that when Christ died at Calvary, he loved you. He died for you just like you are. All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's what Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, verse 31. He didn't tell him to go get baptized. He didn't tell him to repent of his sins. He didn't tell him to do this or that. He didn't tell him to stop this, don't eat that, don't go there, don't say this, don't do that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And there's something else that's added to it. And thy house, the same as Noah when he went into the ark, to the saving of his house. House. Whole salvation. Now is individual salvation. Anybody can be saved today. There ain't nobody that's so bad that God won't save you if you call on the Lord in truth. Now, there's some people that are holding the truth today in unrighteousness. You know what the truth is? Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and the Greek. To the Jew what?
First.
Paul told them Jews in Acts chapter 13, verse 46. He said, seeing you judge yourselves worthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He started going to the Jew and the Gentile after he went to the Jew first. The Jew first, some of them didn't believe it. Then, after Acts 22, when Paul became a prisoner for us Gentiles in Acts 22, he still going to the Jew and the Gentile.
Yeah.
All the way to Acts 28. And I don't give a flip what they brand me. I've been branded with a lot of things in my life. I've been called a lot of things at work, where I worked at, in the Marines and other places that I can't tell you. But I know what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ loved me just like I am. So, over here, after Acts 28, Paul wrote to people such as us that had no hope. But now, everybody's got a hope. Why? Because Paul made known the mystery of the gospel. He made the mystery known to these people back here. But he made known the mystery of that gospel to us after Acts 28. Even you can be saved this morning. Ain't nothing you got to do except trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that don't make you God's elect that He elected in Isaiah 42. And it doesn't give you the privilege of saying, I'm the one that's anointed in Isaiah 61. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. And if Paul is in it, he's only in it in Christ. You understand? I know that I'm Christ's servant, but I'm a free man. But I'm still His servant. You understand? There's a difference. Y'all know the story of Philemon? Yeah. Runaway slave. He got saved. Paul sent him back to his master. And Paul wrote to his master and told him, said, he's better than a servant to you now. He's a brother in the Lord. And said, if he owes you anything, put that to my charge. You ever told anybody, if that fellow owes you anything, put it to my charge? You have to be careful. You may end up telling what that fellow might owe somebody. No, we're free. Now watch what he says here. I got about a minute or two here. Look what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's a quotation out of Habakkuk chapter 2. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, the just shall live by his faith. Well, my faith in his blood is what saved my sorry, low down, rotten soul. And I say soul, we don't have soul salvation. Do you know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about the man that had his father's wife? He said, to deliver such a one unto Satan that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You see, people talking about soul salvation, that comes out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Hebrews over here. Because in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, he said, we're not of them that draw back to perdition, but we're of them to the saving of the soul. We're a spiritual body, spiritual believers, spiritually seated at the right hand of God the Father. Spirits have no limitations. They can go right through the wall. They don't have to open a door. They just go right through. When Jesus Christ went into the upper room, the windows and the doors were shut, and all of a sudden he just appeared there. What would you do if you was riding down the road and all of a sudden somebody just appeared there sitting beside you? I wouldn't be in the road too long. I'd be gone. I'd be out the window, the door or something. My old vehicle may be going somewhere, but I wouldn't be in. I'd leave that sucker. I knew a fella at work. My wife met him one time up at Bay Minette. He worked in the Ellis Warehouse. Drove a lift truck. He was a part-time policeman in Bay Minette. He told me one day, I had to work over there for a week or so when the man that had that job over there was on vacation. He told me, I said, I was going home the other day and the angel of the Lord sat by me and was talking to me. I thought right then, this fellow's got a bad problem. It wasn't long after that he left his family, run away from home and went to North Carolina. I don't know where he's at now. I ain't got no idea whatever happened to him. If somebody sat inside me that wasn't invited, that I didn't open the door and let them in, they can have that truck. I'm gone. They can have it. What do we need to do? We need to hold the truth in righteousness. Because there are people today that are holding the truth in unrighteousness. They're changing the gospel of Christ. They're adding to the gospel of Christ. They're taken away from it, and they are not following the Apostle Paul, their apostle. So what do you need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I appreciate yours this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you.